Well, I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to the 9th Psalm. Leo already read about 2/3 of it. But he didn't read my verse. I'm just reading one verse tonight. Psalm 9. He read the first portion of that chapter. I thought he's cheating, knew what I was going to do. He told me he didn't. But in Psalm 9, we look over at verse 17. It's a hard verse. And then tonight, I want to tackle a tough topic. And I'm going to deal with this issue from a local standpoint and a legal standpoint. And then I want us to respond from a biblical standpoint to what's going on in our local school system. So why in the world can't a senior class president or the president of the SGA speak at graduation in Santa Rosa County at graduation next week? That's what I want to deal with. Well, Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17 says this: the wicked will return to Sheol or to death or to hell. Even all the nations who forget God. What that verse says, a nation that forgets God's going to die. Now let's just say it like it is tonight. America has forgotten God. Let's just say it straight. Let's just understand that born again, evangelical, Bible believing, hot-hearted Christians are now the great, great, great minority in America. The ACLU has drawn rings. They've drawn circles. Let me tell you where they're drawing circles. You sit tonight on the campus of Olive Baptist Church, 52 acres of our campus. The first circle that the ACLU wants to draw is around the perimeter of Olive Baptist Church and every other place that preaches the gospel. And they will say, you do whatever you very well please on the campus of that church. You sing the songs you were doing tonight. You read the scriptures you read tonight. You baptize believers. But never, ever bring your faith outside that circle. That's what they're saying to us. They're saying, don't bring your faith on public streets. Don't bring your faith into the workplace. And certainly don't bring your faith into the courtroom, onto the yard of a county courthouse. Certainly do not bring it into a public school system. Those are the fences they want to draw. They want to draw, and they want faith to remain a very inclusive, closed, safe environment. Why is that? Because the gospel is not intended to produce navel gazers. What I mean by that is we're not supposed to be looking at ourselves. Our job is to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. And the gospel, you see, the most offensive doctrine in the world today is the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. For someone to say Jesus is the only way is the most offensive doctrine available, yet that is what Jesus said, taught, and died for. Exclusivity. If he is not the only way, there is no way. Then every way is right. But Jesus said, I'm the only way. So that's the issue. And whenever the ACLU finds that the church is breaking into ground that they find they shouldn't be in, then they intimidate, they sue, they bring charge. And that's what they've done next door in Santa Rosa County. Now tonight, I have in my hand a letter from Superintendent Rosdick that was given to every school teacher. Every school teacher in Santa Rosa County got that letter. And attached to it was the court order. And I want to show you tonight why the court order says, and then tell you what the legal counsel for the school board has said, and the only thing I know to do is give you his words in two different places. First of all of our school teachers got this. I love this opening sentence of the second paragraph. Individuals that violate the order both intentionally and unintentionally are doing so under their own volition and do not represent the desire of the school board nor the superintendent of schools. Go on down. It says, employees that violate the decree are subject to fines, penalties, and sanctions as determined by the court, and they will not be represented legally using school board resources. That's why Mr. Lay has been denied legal counsel from the school board because of that sentence. Then there is this document, which is the consent decree and order that came down after the ACLU brought suit. This is absolutely blasphemous and illegal. It speaks of, well, you say, you're no lawyer. No, but I've talked to one. And I've gotten some legal opinion. Well, it talks, first of all, about prayer at school events. School officials are permanently enjoined from promoting, advancing, endorsing, participating in, or causing prayers during or in conjunction with school events for any school within the district. Let me tell you, every teacher I ever had caused prayer every 6 weeks. Amen. Every test I got to 6 weeks, I'm here to tell. I don't know if you still have 6 week tests or not, but we used to have them. And I mean, I didn't just pray, I fasted every now and then. They can't endorse, advance, participate. This is number five, under section G. If school officials, and here's the reason these kids can't speak. If school officials select persons to make an address during or in conjunction with a school event, they shall do so by a selection process that is neutral to religion and in compliance with a written policy. Point H. To the extent that the school officials permit a person during or in conjunction with school events to give an address that a school official can or does shape, review, or edit for content, substance, message, style, or theme, then school officials shall instruct the person that the person's address must exclude prayer. So why can't the SGA president speak? So why can't the class president, Pace High School, speak? It's a long-standing tradition that they've been doing that. Now, the valedictorian can speak and the salutatorian can speak. Well, according to this, that if the administration selects, well, the students do the selecting, but the administration always has something to do. I'm here to tell you teachers have something to do with the selection of the valedictorian. They made out the tests. I mean, did the valedictorian just drop out of heaven? No, the teachers had something to do with that. I've got another little document right here. This one's been around for a long time. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of people peaceably to assemble or to petition the government for redress of grievances. I thought that a high school senior ought to be able to talk according to the Constitution of the United States of America. You mark this down. If a valedictorian stands in Santa Rosa County next week and takes Jesus' name in vain, it'll be quite all right. You can curse. Nobody called you down. I got a feeling there's some principals might. But that's not in this court order. You can't call out to the Lord, but you could use his name in vain. Well, why did they decide that the salutatorian could speak and the valedictorian, but not these others? Well, the school board attorney, Mr. Paul Green, said this on Channel 3 News, according to the transcript. I heard him say it, and then I got the transcript. He said, and I quote, We determined that because the members of the Student Government Association, for instance, were selected with a great deal of input from the school officials, the school personnel, that would constitute an act of school itself. The idea is to create a natural selection process where school officials are not involved. And then he went on to say in the Pensacola News Journal, in there, you know it's true. He said, it did not directly, this court order did not directly address student speeches, but it did state if the speeches were a result of a school official's selection of speakers or control over a group such as student government, that those speakers are considered school officials. I love that line. The president of the senior class is a school official. Well, bless God, I think y'all ought to decide something. Amen. Go down to the school board and tell them you want to talk, you want to vote. You're an official of the school. That's what the lawyer said. The preacher didn't say it. School official. Lord have mercy. Then he said, if a student did pray, officials would have to stop it, Green said. To avoid a disruption to graduation, they decided to allow only student speakers selected on a neutral basis like grade point average. Again. That I'm just telling you, the First Amendment of the Constitution is being ripped to shreds with this particular legal opinion. And somebody ought to get a lawyer, and somebody ought to say, we need a stay in order to let these kids speak. Because it's just absolutely wrong. They've taken the consent decree, and what they've done is the lawyers have run for the school board to the safest place they can run. Now, I don't know. I'm going to speak for them here a little bit. I've got a feeling they know who the valedictorians are, and they know who the student government presidents are. Now, I know who some of them are. And there's some preachers and preacherettes elected to some of those places. And you know, I don't know what they'd pray, but I got a feeling they'd give their personal witness. And talk about who they are. That's what I thought these kids were doing, stepping into real life, being able to stand for God. Well, that's the reason they did that. But now, this consent form, I want to speak to my teachers for just a moment, because I want you to know, you are on shaky ground. This is where I got my legal help. It goes on, you just can't have a baccalaureate, and we already know that. Jeremy, where are you? You still awake? Okay, he's been at church all day today. He came this morning for early Sunday school and heard me preach twice, and then he stayed for the Washington deal and the Tate baccalaureate. Now he's back here tonight and playing it. You can take tomorrow off, son. Be fine, all right? Well, we're all off tomorrow, aren't we? Amen. That's good. Then you get to the school events at religious venues. Then you come down to point number 8, which is where I believe the great blasphemy is in this consent form. Promotion of personal religious beliefs. Here's what it says a school teacher or an official of any kind can or can't do. Point A. School officials shall not participate in any way in a prayer with students during or in conjunction with instructional periods or a school event. During or in conjunction with a school event, school officials shall not offer a prayer, recite a prayer alongside or with students, or posture in a manner that is likely to be perceived as an endorsement of prayer, i.e. bowing your head, kneeling, folding your hands. So I asked the attorney, Friday night, Pace High School. They're playing Milton. It's 10,000 people in the ballpark. Milton halfback goes left. Big slow linebacker for Pace. That's the kind they have. Just knock you in the next week. Hits him right in the 3-hole on the other side, and the boy goes over and you hear it crack. Leg's broken. They bring the ambulance out. If any teacher, according to this consent form, bows their head or does this, they're in contempt of court, lose their job, be fined, or go to jail. And my God, if they were to go kneel down and pray by the boy, I guess execution on the spot. It is written in such a way that these teachers are going to be absolutely scared out of their mind. I asked them, I asked the attorney, I said, what if a Catholic teacher wanted to eat their meal by themselves in the cafeteria and they got done and they just bowed their head and prayed and then crossed themselves? Violation right here of this. He said that absolutely would be a violation of what's written. It says school officials shall not cite the Bible as an authority for historical or scientific facts to students during or in conjunction with a school event which is consistent with current state curriculum. I imagine you can use the Quran or the Book of Mormon or anything from Scientology, but not the Bible. Then it says in point E, this is where my lawyer friend flipped out. He said, I can't believe this. He said, evidently the people that agreed to this were so scared, they just agreed to anything. School officials shall not orally express personal religious beliefs to students during or in conjunction with instructional time at a school event. A school official shall not express personal religious beliefs to students through written or symbolic means except as jewelry on the school's official person or clothing or religious articles compelled to be worn by school officials, sincerely held religious beliefs like a yarmulke. You wear an FCA shirt with a cross on it, violation, according to the lawyer I talked to. This is absolutely the worst document I've ever read in my life. I thought I was in communist Russia and I read this. I cannot believe what I read. I asked him, I said, are you really telling me that if I wear an FCA shirt or one of these teachers wears an FCA shirt and it's got a cross? He said, I'm telling you, according to what's written here, if someone wanted to press it, they'd have to either change clothes or they can be found in contempt of court for wearing that kind of clothing. I asked him what the worst thing was. He said, well, Pastor, I guess I would just, if the faculty were clients of mine, I would tell them to pay for their lunch with a debit card so they didn't use a dollar bill that had "In God We Trust" on it. He said, I guess that would be a symbol of what you believe. So use a debit card when you pay for lunch. I kind of grinned and giggled. He said, well, I just kind of threw that in for fun. But I said, and he said, well, Pastor, it just sounds like we're just up against a mountain. Hey, we are. We're absolutely at a mountain, and we're the minority, and the liberal left that doesn't believe in God is ruling the day. What we need is a Pentecost. Amen. Amen. We will never win this on legal ground. Should we stand? Yes, sir. If my daughter had been elected, or my son and was supposed to speak, I would at least visit with an attorney about getting a stay for my kid to speak. That's what I would do. Because this whole document begins with two high school students. They are called Minor Doe 1 and Minor Doe 2. Their name's not given, of course, because not being of age. But that's what I would do, is I would go to an attorney and I'd try to get somebody to get in front of a judge that would get a stay for that graduation where my kid could speak. That'd be my counsel. They say, well, Pastor, that it just sounds like we're in a rock. Well, we are. So tonight I want to give you 10 things I think we ought to do. 10 encouragements to all of you. You need to pray for Superintendent Rosdick. I'm telling you, that old boy's in a rock and a hard place. He's a member over here at one of our sister churches where our former pastor's interim, Emmanuel. But I'm telling you, we're going to have some folks that stand up. I mean, you're going to have to get a backbone like saw log when it comes down to this stuff. Somebody's got to take a stand. Well, what should we do? Well, I just think we'll do 10 things in the face of all this. I guess 11, because I've said to a couple of parents or three or four, how many of them might be here tonight, that's what I'd do with my children. Number one, we need to seek the Lord and pray and fast. In the morning at 8 o'clock, students at Pace High School are going to have a prayer walk over on their campus. I'd encourage you to join them. I plan to be there. I'm going to walk with them. Don't have a shirt with a cross on it. And I'd encourage you to be at that place. And if you can be there Memorial Day morning, and, I mean, tomorrow I'm supposed to cut grass, but I'm going to give that up in order to go. I'll cut grass a little later in the day. These young people are going to prayer walk around their school. And I think we ought to do. I think we ought to encourage them, join them if we can. Let them know we're for them and be there with them. But if you can't be there, you ought to pray and you ought to fast. I'm telling you, this is the issue. We need a Pentecost. We need a move of God to come. Number two, we must disciple teenagers. Church, hear me. We are sending our kids out into the highways and hedges where they're going to be bombarded with stuff that you wouldn't teach them in your house. As long as you've got them in public education, they're going to find that, and it's going to be there, and you need to be discipling your teenager. That leads me to number three. We need to, in our churches, we need to build strong family altars where daddies pray over their little girls and pray over their boys and love on them and instruct them and open the Word of God to them. And I'm not talking about, don't raise your kids in a monastery. Don't become a monk. You know, don't tell them that they can't do. Hey, they're going to do. And when they get ready to make decisions, you got to help them and show them the right thing, the wrong thing. You got to do what my mama did with me. I'm telling my mother, high school education, she knew how to do it because Leck taught her how. My grandmother taught them. My mama's just hard. She's tough. I've shared with y'all the story. I had a date one night, and we was going over to Scottsboro to the movie. It's 18 and is R-rated, and I could get in for the first time. And I got up to the window, and my date couldn't get in because she wasn't old enough. So we had to go do something else. They carded us. Well, the next night was Saturday, and I told Mama that the Lambert girl couldn't go. I said, I'm going to the movie. I was 18. I could get in. I was going back to see the dirty show. So Mama comes out. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going over to Scottsboro to move. She said, well, great. She said, you know, I ain't been to pitcher in a long time. And my mom was old enough to get in. She got in that car. Man, y'all never have picked up on this, but I'm pretty prideful if I want to be. And I just couldn't swallow that down. And so I went on and went. I said, well, I'll just show her. Bless God, I'll just go. And we went and sat there. And I mean, we didn't say a word. We went back and got in my 71 Buick LeSabre, black 440 Carburetor. Son, it'd get up and go, I'm here to tell you. Black leather seat. She slid in. We got about halfway home. About a 20-minute ride. We hadn't said a word. She looked over at me and she said, son, if that's the kind of things you want to do and you want to see, then she just did this. Oh, man, I was like this tall. See, my mother didn't raise me in a monastery. I'm not telling you, if you put a bit and bridle in their mouth, you pull back till they bleed. I'm here to tell you, as soon as they get out of the barn, they're going straight there. Boy, my mother, I don't know, she didn't read that in any book or whatever. She just had motherly intuition. And here I stand these several years later, and I've never forgotten that. Man, and it just some kind of shows I don't watch. Because I'm afraid my mama is going to walk in the room. Amen. You need to build great family altars with it, because we've got kids and they're out there on the on an island by themselves, and we got to help them. We got to seek the Lord, disciple the teenagers, build family. Number four, you need, now hear me, and I want you to hear all 10 of these. You need to be supportive of private Christian schools. Now hear me on this. I'm not saying that we ought to send every kid we got to a private Christian school, but we don't ever need to hear at Olive Baptist Church negative things about the private educational systems in our city. They're paying their own way, plus paying taxes. And I never sent either one of my children to private school. They both went to a private Christian college. And we didn't go that route. And I don't know what I'd do today if I had kids. I have young couples coming to me all the time. Pastor, what should I do? What should I do? And you know that we looked at starting a private school here. Rather than doing the ministry village, we were looking at starting a private school here at Olive. I mean, we prayed through. I'll tell you how far I prayed. I prayed far enough to ask Frank Lay if he'd come be the principal of it if I started it. I did. And he is going to do it too. Amen. If God is in it. But we just prayed through that. And, you know, if the time got right and he had to retire and all that stuff. And, I mean, we was looking for folks. But God didn't lead us that way. We may yet do that one day. I don't know. But we're not, that's just not where God's got. But we don't need to be saying negative things about private Christian schools. As a matter of fact, we need to support them. We need to encourage them. Thank God for those that are standing that way. Number five, we need to hold our local government officials accountable. Somebody needs to go to the school board meetings. You need to sit there. You need to listen. You need to be in the hip pocket of those school board members, county commissioners, and different people. And when you see this kind of stuff rising up, you need to be educated and be a part of that. Matter of fact, some of our folks just need to run for those play. Now, understand, if we're going to change things, we've got to be involved in that. Number six, we need to be salt and light in the public schools. I'm not saying everybody ought to go but to Christian school, but those that go to public education, our kids need to be trained so they are salt and they are light. I want you to know, I was over here with Joey Rogers at Pace Assembly. He's become my dear friend. I'm going to be over Tuesday night at the rally they're having. He asked me to come and say a word or two, and I'm going to be there to support my good friend. We had a press conference, and some of our kids, Tia Shallow was one of them, some other folks, and I'm telling you what, I've never been so proud of young people in all my life. When they stood and looked into the blare and the bright light of Channel 3 and Channel 5, they said, "We know what the law says. We are not here to be troublemakers. We just want to stand for our rights and be what we can be." You talk about the kindness and the character of the Lord Jesus that came through them. Now, some preachers, the rest of we got mean. You know, we wasn't like Jesus. But these kids, they were like Christ. You see, they were being salt and they were being light. That's what Jesus called us to be in Matthew 5, 13, 14, to be salt and light. Salt is a preservative. Of course, light illuminates. And I'm telling you, these kind of issues, you got to shine the lights on them and call them out where they're wrong. I mean, with this document, somebody's got to go and say, "This is stupidity. This is absolutely asinine that we would sign off on a document like that." I understood they had the school board over a barrel in some ways, but friend, they gave up. They just sold out lock, stock, and barrel. They gave it all up. There were places to fight that could have been fought for that somebody just backed up and said, "We'll sign anything as long as we don't have to pay." It's amazing to me. Someone needs to be salted. Like number seven, we need to be willing to be persecuted for our faith. Friend, it's not all cream and cookies. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 10, I don't read this, just listen for a moment. Matthew 5. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me." Not that they say evil just about you, but because of Christ. You must be willing to be persecuted. Verse 12 says, rejoice and be glad. Amen. For your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Number 8, we need in America, and you as a voter, we need to elect presidents of the United States that will play strict constitutionalists on the Supreme Court bench. This thing trickles down when you can take the law and gerrymander and make it up as you go along. That's the kind of president we need to elect, not only the next time, but the next time, and the next time, and the next time. Number 9, you need to love your enemies. Love your enemies. I've been in dialogue with some of the folks here that write a lot of black ink on white paper. We've had some good talk. So I kind of went out on a limb the other day when we were discussing, and I said, hey, I'd like to know you. Would you go to lunch with me? And I got the greatest email back, said, lunch is my favorite part of the workday. And I'll be, you name the place and I'll be there. I'm telling you, when you find your enemies and begin to love them, the horns on their head are usually not quite as sharp, and their devilish tails are usually not quite as long when you really begin to love your enemies. That's what Jesus did. You say, well, they crucified him. Indeed, they did. They may crucify you, but sometimes you'll win an enemy when you love him. And number 10, I would challenge all of us to consider writing thoughtful articles in the local newspaper, on blog sites, and other places you can post. Now, I don't mean going off and saying dumb stuff. I'm talking about hone that thing down. If you're going to write a viewpoint, then write it. And get several opinions. And don't just, you know, the worst thing you can do is type and hit enter. Bless God. You ever done it? Why? Every now and then you get something, you know, people say, I want to retrieve. Retrieve? There's no retrieve in email no more than there's any crying in baseball. I mean, you know, when it goes, man, it's like feathers out of a pillow. It's gone. You can't get them back in that bag. They're blowing in the wind. You be very careful. But you get some thoughtful people together and you write. Now be very careful. Randy Knepper, who was a deacon here at this church several years ago, my dear, dear friend, ran for Congress. Jeff Miller ran against Jeff first time, got beat. I learned a lot about local politics during that election. I kind of got an old black eye through that. But Jeff now has remained my friend. Randy has too. I walked into Randy's office one day. He was president of a bank downtown, and I was so mad. News journal written something, I don't remember what it was. I had the paper in my hand. I walked in there and I just threw it down on his desk. I said, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. I'm fixing to write me a letter. He said, Patrick, that'd be great. He said, just do it, man. He said, you ought to. He said, that's the dumbest article I ever read. And Randy said, I want to ask you a question. I said, yeah. He said, how do you buy ink? I said, what are you talking about? He said, ink. You got ink? I said, yeah, I got ink. He said, how do you buy it? I said, well, by the pen full. He said, they buy it in 50-gallon barrels. They buy it in 50-gallon barrels down there at the News Journal. He said, if you get in that war, just know you got an ink pen up against a 50-gallon barrel. And he said, you have never been so blessed as to see your name in 14-point type. I put my pen back in my pocket. I've written a few letters. And one of my resolutions as I started year 2009 is that I was going to write more. And I was going to dialogue more with my local journalists so I can know them and have input into them. Well, this is going to be some kind of week. Unless revival comes, the school system in Santa Rosa County this week has changed forever. Forever. It has changed forever in Escambia County. I did the tape baccalaureate today. The reason I did the tape baccalaureate is they asked me 2 days ago to preach at it. I told them, didn't I, Jeremy? Because Malcolm Thomas, who's the superintendent of schools, I ran into him at the Tate baseball game. I was talking to Malcolm, and I said, you know, they've got it all planned, and we're going to host it. And he said, what's happening? And I told him, he said, ooh, they can't do that. I said, well, they are. And he said, they can't do that. And so I had Jeremy call, and they were going to do it anyway. Well, they got right down to it, and they couldn't do that. Today at Baccalaureate, the choir, the one I was at, they had an ensemble right up here on these rides. They sang. But no teacher could lead them. No choral person could lead the kids they'd been leading all year. Why? It was a religious service. And the choir couldn't come and sing. I guess, Leo, if we wanted the band, you know, we've had them before to play on Easter. I guess they could come if we could get the kids to come, but no band director could come with them in a church house. I mean, you know, they may catch AIDS or the swine flu or something. I mean, our dear God, they may hear the name Jesus. I don't know. But for the life of me, when I got that deal to pay my mortgage, there was some kind of school tax thing in there. Do y'all get that? I get one. And my kids don't even go anymore. I'm going to quit. Do you get to quit? No, you just keep on. We've changed forever. We've absolutely changed forever. Don't think that we're going back. Because we're not. We are not going back. It's a new landscape. It's a new day. These kids that are here, and others are, most of them sitting over here, but they are opening a new day. We'll never have baccalaureate again like we did. We'll never have school functions like we did. Prayer will always be suspicious. Let me let you on a little secret. It's been like this in lots of places across America. But I was thinking that the hole on the belt of the Bible Belt just might be exempt. But she's not. They have come here too. And they have forgotten God. Don't have anything to do with Him. I want you to know they can't run us off. Can't make your light quit shining. You may not get to give a speech, but you can still talk. You may not be able to give an address, but I'm here to tell you light can still shine. There's work to be done in a vineyard that is different than we've ever been in before. And it ought to drive us to our knees to pray, to pray, to pray, and to stand, and stand. We still do first priority clubs on these campuses. Man, we ought to support these priority clubs and all of these things. I know I spoke over at Tate a while back, and I was at the Pace group a while back. Leah did both of them a while back. She sent me a pray for me, Pastor, and she was there speaking. The teachers, bless their heart, they just have to stand in the back of the room, kind of like, you know, just cowered. Lord, if they have to bow their head, or, you know, I know it's before school, but it's a new day, friend. And the church has got to get on its knees and then rise. And I mean, don't go out and be mean. Don't go be stupid. Don't jump up and act like a redneck. Be thoughtful. In my list, I had about 10 more things. We need to pray God raises up some sharp-minded young men and women to be attorneys. You know one of the greatest law schools in America right now is at Liberty University? In all the legal debate stuff going on, they win hands down the last 2 years. They win every time. They're turning out some of the greatest attorneys in the world standing on this issue of church and state. Well, we need God to raise those up and be out there, be with us, be for us. We've got to inform our people who to vote. I mean, just on and on and on we could go. What do we do this week? Well, I've shared with you what I'd do if those were my kids. So, those are my kids, and I'm not going to do it. Fine, I love you. That's fine. You don't have to do it. I'm just telling you what I think I would do. It's a lot easier to say what you do when you don't have to do. But if we can help you, we want to. I hadn't been to high school graduation in a long time. But I'm going this year. I'm just going to see what happens. I got a feeling I'm going to have to leave early to get in. But we got to be supportive. So I didn't know how to conclude tonight, but what I've just sensed in my heart, what I want to do is I want to begin as we quit. Gloria, where are you? Are you at the gospel piano player over there? I just love her. She does so good. Amen. She plays and I talk. If she quit playing, I'd talk. But she just kind of takes me on with her, you know. I'm going to ask if you're a public school teacher official, I'm going to invite you to the altar right now just to come and kneel here. If you're a public school teacher or official, be just come. She's going to start playing. If you teach or do anything, I want you to come. Teacher, amen.